Okay, we continue in the Sefer Mesillas Yesharim with the commentary of the Bilvavi Mishkan Evne. We're on the top of page Lamed Gimel, the third line. We just read the next selection from the Mesillas Yesharim, which mentioned the idea that if you check around the world, you'll find that most people who are highly intelligent and sharp will focus their energies into deep learning subjects, depending on their nature. If they're secular people or whatever, they can focus on astronomy, geometry, others in different types of arts or different types of work. Others can go into holy areas. And if those who are going into Torah would be in deep technical and hard topics, some will be medrash, some will be halacha, but very few, Gemara obviously, but very few will spend time on working on their service to Hashem, on love of Hashem, on fear, on connecting to Hashem, bonding to Hashem. So it's on this topic we're picking up on now. And he, the Bavavi mentioned that those who are very, very sharp, smart people, so it's much easier for them to learn Torah. While those who don't, it's more challenging. So let's continue on the third line on page Lamed Gimel. Mi she'ein lo harbei chachma, someone who doesn't have a lot of wisdom, ein anota ma'od lishtamesh im ha'sechel. They don't usually lean in the direction to make use of their intellect. Ki margish zelohu, because he knows that's not him. He's not a brainy guy. For example, Shumas Galumot Meseches B'Daf Beis, guy starts a tractate of Talmud and it's on Daf Beis, the beginning. Veroshi Mistayim B'Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, it ends on page 117. Kvar Huchash Chalisha Sadas, he ready, he feels weak. He gives up already. Right? Oh, that's too many pages. Boven TV Halimud Kushlo, in general, learning is hard for the guy. And if he starts learning it with some deeper commentaries to the Talmud, he feels that I'm not capable. On the other hand, it's understood there are some people who aren't that smart. But their recognition is so clear that the goal of life is to learn Torah. Since it's such a clear recognition, it brings them to sit and study even though it's hard. Because you're determined to do it because you know it's so important to Hashem. Okay, so you got some people who just are going to give up. It's too hard. Anything that involves really challenging my brain, I don't want to do it. And other people, even though it's hard, they're going to say, but it's so important, I just got to do it anyway. But the others who learn Torah for a very simple reason. They got a very sharp mind. And therefore, they get a lot of pleasure naturally from the sharpness and the genius that is in Torah. And they enjoy it. And for these people, even if it wasn't a mitzvah to learn Torah, they would learn it anyway. Because it's interesting. It's deep and sharp. It challenges the mind. So you could have a very intelligent person who's very interested in studying Talmud. Im came, therefore, comes out. Anshe ha-seichel b'ofen tivi not lishtamish im sichlam ish kefinati ha-sichlam. Therefore, a bright person, a sharp person, naturally will incline himself to use his intellect. Everyone according to where their intellect takes them, where it's interested in. Right? People do what they like to do, plain and simple. Right? A highly intellectual person will not enjoy watching a sporting event. He won't. Doesn't do anything for him. But if he's an intellectual, he's got to do something that makes his mind think. So now, what does a person who's a big intellect do? If they haven't merited to sit in the tents of Torah, these high intellects, so there were those who will invest their ability to learn into astronomy or geometry. Some into other areas of work. Some will look into science. As we see those who learn in university. That their great intellect didn't go towards Torah, but went to other things. Some will get into different secular, intelligent areas is because they've got to get a job. Let's say someone will be a doctor because he wants to make a lot of money. So you have to use your brains for it. So he wants to make money. Others do it for honor. It could be a prestigious university position, a doctorate at Harvard. But some people will learn university because they like to learn. They like to use their brains. They're apt in that area, and they enjoy it. So Misha Zachar Kvar, someone who has merited that already, who Maven Shachaim Enabachutzovim. So those who understand that life isn't superficial, but it's more of an in-depth thing. Betoch Alama Shelter in the world of Torah. Yeshol Sechol Mar Bekech, any smart. He'll use his intellect to learn Torah. A Torah, now, so hopefully, a person who's on a spiritual track, a religious track, he'll learn Torah with it if he's got a good brain. So now, what does a smart Jewish boy do when he's learning Torah? Or a woman? A Torah k'doshim or keves meharbe chalokim. The Torah is broken up into many parts. Both in Kloli, Yodim Anu Sheish Pardes. We generally know there's a concept called Pardes. That's an acronym of four areas of Torah, which stand for Pshat, Remes, Drush, Vesod. The Pshat is the simple Pshat, Remes are the hints, the Drush is the Midrashim, and the Sod, that's the mystical secrets. Osam Eilu Shema Ainim B'Seichlam L'Heichan Emochim. So those who are highly intellectual, where in the area of Torah do they go in these four areas? Next page, Lamed Daleth. Rov ancha seichel habor vabikeach besodem lo mintzoyim. Most of the highly intelligent Jews, they don't go in the area of sod. They don't go into the Kabbalah, into the mystical realm. Hem lo motzim shom klum. They don't find anything of interest over there. Hasod hu sefer chasum. Sod, the mysteries of Torah, it's a closed book. Nelam admot, very hidden. You have words there that, under the best circumstance, maybe a person can translate what the words mean. But the deeper understanding, but someone who just doesn't get it, you know, he's not going to understand it. It's the same thing with Remesh and Drush. Okay, it's very hidden kind of stuff. If you don't understand the way to do it, you're just not going to get it. You need special training in that area. So therefore, what do the real smart people do? These smart people work in the first realm of Pshat. Just what's there? What is the information? Pshat is the information. Those who will go into the realm of Orchaim. Orchaim is the section of the Shulchan Aruch that deals with, you know, practical daily living. Laws of brachas, laws of davening, Shema, Shabbos, Yontif. Practical application of halacha. Abderach klal ha-sechla yoser dak notalim ha-choshim mishvah. But a much more sophisticated intellect goes into the harder realms, which is called Choshe Mishpat. That's all the laws of civil law, jurisprudence, damages, murder, legal stuff. Kamo Shomer Chazal, as a rabbi say, Harot Zali Shiachme, a person wants to get smart, Yasuk B'dine Momas, get involved in laws that are monetary issues. And in general, you look in the yeshivas today, you go to typical yeshiva, that's what they're learning. They're not learning the tractates dedicated to Orachaim. They're not learning Maseches Brachas. They're not learning Rosh Hashanah, Yom Sukkah, Megillah. They don't learn it. Because it's easy. It's just information, not very deep. You get into Baba Kama, Baba Metziah, Baba Basra, that kind of stuff. Oh, Sanhedrin. That's hard. Well, not Sanhedrin so much, but those three babas, those are hard. Those are, and that's what the yeshiva world, that's where they're into it. They've got all kinds of deep. There's so many books written on concepts and this. It's unbelievable how deep it is. So you go to the regular yeshivas, that's the kind of stuff they're learning. The really hard stuff, they have to go in depth. And it does sharpen the mind if you're good at that. Therefore, Lachain, Rabbit Mibali Hasechel, Habor Achorif Apikech, Magim Lios Dayan. Therefore, the real highly intellectual religious Jews will want to become judges. Even if they're not actually judges, but in general they're going to learn that area called Choshen Mishpat. Because then they can express their highly sophisticated intellects can express themselves. The very subtle insights that are found in the Gemara, the Iker, Besugyas, Elu, Moshe, Musalev, primarily in these areas, they draw the Sasechel, they draw the intellect. Intellect is drawn to this kind of stuff. I've just recently had somebody starting to come to my class. He's a secular Jew. He comes to Gemara class now. This is the first thing he's learning. I said, don't you find it very advanced? He says, no, I find it very interesting. So I started talking to him, and he's a physicist. So, okay, I understand. He's a physicist, so now he's wanting to turn to Torah. Okay, so learning Gemara. So he finds it very interesting, the way we're analyzing the pasuk and this rule and that rule. It's right. And then you can see some people, yeah, that aren't that bright. And he put a Gemara in front of them, they'd rather die. It's like, forget about it, you know. The part of Seichel is you're able to hold a thought in your mind for an extended period of time. Right? So we start a topic, and the Gemara moves from point to point to point, contradictions, resolving contradictions, subtleties in the verses, and the guy says, you just tell me what to do. Alright? So that's why, again, you know, we don't knock anybody here, Chas v'Shalom, but the Gemara says that, you know, you don't teach women Torah because, you know, that's not their intellectual, there's different areas of intellect. Right, it's not their intellectual strength. It's not their. This is pure chachma. Gemara and that kind of stuff is pure chachma. You know, being able to get complicated facts, fact, deeper fact, more subtle fact, this, that, and in general, that's not the area of intelligence. It's not the area of intelligence where women have their strength. And in general, okay, you could have certain women who are intellectually very bright in that area, but the general rule of thumb is it's not for them, and that's not what's going to do it for them, and they don't need that, right? They're more, since they're strong in the area of Bina is going to be the next thing we're going to get to in a minute, okay? And a lot of guys, unfortunately, don't even have a lot of Chachma in them. You know, I think a lot of this has to do with the cross-gendering that's going on today. You know, every men and women wear the same clothes, do the same work, do this. So it's you know, guys are falling into part of the female realm. So in the case, you know, it's not from, you know, a lot of kids nowadays, you know, it's even in the university, the high schools are so watered down. Compare what a boy in a yeshiva learns to what they learn in a public school. It's day and night. Boy in yeshiva, he's got a mamish, be using his brain all day long. It's chachma, 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 all day long. University, in high school, okay, they give you, you know, one or two hard courses the whole day. You know, do a little math, a little English, chas v'shalom, not too many things at one time. God forbid, not two sciences at a time. You know, even the girls in Beis Yaakov have to do two sciences at a time, besides everything else they're doing. Yeah, it's just like, I gotta learn nothing. learn how to like people, how to accept people, how to draw, how to this. It's fine for non-Jews. It's fine, but you know, it's that whole idea of developing the chachma just isn't there so much. So, but the point being, people who have chachma, they want to go into Gemara. That's the real stuff. Now,
Rabbi.
Yes, sir.
Not to dwell too much on the fact that you said that women are not inclined for this kind of study. Is it because they haven't been introduced to it right from the very beginning?
No, it's for,
I don't
it's,
think it, there's a difference in the intelligence it's, it, quotient it, in the one.
There is for sure a difference. The way God made man and women different. For sure made them different. No question about it. He for sure made them different. That's what the Torah says. The Torah says he gave, you know, he says, Daiton shal noshin kalos. Women are weak in their das, but they have bina yisera. They have greater bina, clearly. They're stronger in one area, men are stronger in another. It's not a problem. God did not create people with equal talents. He created them equal of making free will choice and fulfilling their role in life. That's how everyone's equal. But they're not meant to do the same things. They're not. There was the whole trouble in Egypt, where the whole tsar in Egypt was, Paro made men do women's jobs, and women did men's jobs. And there are clearly, there are women's jobs, there are men's jobs. There is. The secular world doesn't want to accept that. So fine. That's why the whole world's falling apart. They said, we're going to make everybody the same. So look what happens. The whole society's falling apart.
We learned about Dora, and she was quite up to par.
There's exceptions to the rule. There's always an exception. But that doesn't mean that that's the rule. The rule is the vast majority of women, their area is in Bina. And that's the direction they should go. There's a smaller amount. There's always exceptions to the rule. You have one Devorah. You don't have dozens and dozens of Devorahs. But many, many men who are scholars in Torah, scholars in all these things. You have 48 men prophets and 7 women prophets.
Again, maybe the lack of opportunity, or just the way they were.
There's nothing to do with opportunity.
Once
you know that that's the secret of life, you follow it. That's all. Once you know the secret of life, you follow it. That's all. We're not going to dwell on it. That's not the point of today's class. If you want, we'll spend a lot more time on another class. The Torah says it. There's nothing to argue. The Torah is reality. You can't argue with it. Finished. You try all day long to train people, women to do this and that, and men to do that and that. It's not going to work.
My issue is about the intellectual level of a woman as compared to a man. I think they're equal or probably better. So I don't see the...
Okay.
It's different.
You
never said it was...
Yes, we did. There's two different areas of intelligence.
We're also saying men are inferior. We are saying men are inferior. In an area too. Listen, you can't argue the fact, for example, men are stronger than women, for example.
That's physical.
You can't argue, well, I can't accept that fact. They haven't been trained to do that. No, you could have a woman being trained just as much as a man. A man is going to make more muscles. That's all there is to it. Get over it. Women golfers do not golf from as far back as men. They put them up 75 yards closer to the pin. That's it. That's the way it is. You know, you'll get 100 women, 100 men. The men will beat the women every time. That's all there is to it. You get the best men's basketball team, get the best women's basketball team. They will
physical.
That's not, so it's the same thing in intelligence.
It's not. Intellectual is not
the same. Okay, you'll show me the studies that disprove that, and then we'll discuss it.
Can I just there was one, there's a secular study that came out recently where they had a study about separating boys and girls schools, not for religious reasons in the secular world, just to see if they would do better. And they found that both did much better because their minds work completely differently. They taught the boys in a certain method, they taught the girls in a different method. If they tried to teach them the same, which they were doing all these years, which was the boys method, the boys do better. Your brains work differently. It's like now the secular world is accepting it. There were separate schools.
There were reasons for that, but I won't go into it. I know what's
all right, anyway, it's way off topic, and it's a nice subject, but not for here. You know, just accept if Hashem said it that way, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. And okay. Anyway, so Vareish is umayla gedoyla shara makish asich limin atarik dosha. It's certainly a virtue that a person uses his intellect for Torah. Avol kamur yeshar b'chalak. But there's four parts, as we said: pshat, remesh, drush, v'sod. Umishim isasik rek b'pshat. Ubamavet pashtoni. Someone who just looks into the pshat, into discerning the basic, what's in front of you. Chasar la'avana mamika. He's missing a deeper understanding. Now let's discuss the fundamental difference between sod and pshat. And this is something we discussed on Lag BaOmer. And seeing it inside now. There are two overall roots. Moach v'lev. The mind and the heart. Elohim shnei hamlochim shabav. Those are two kings within the person. Eitzalan shehaseichel amor acharifim vapikhim. For the people who are very sharp and intelligent, ha'ikar vaseichel. The main thing is the seichel. Al yodo niten lahavin es hapshat. Through the intellect, one can understand the pshat, the meaning that's going on there. Kizel dar muskal, mukdar, that's something that is of an intellectual nature. It's very well defined. Avlavonas has sowed, but the understanding of sowed, the secrets. Avderch klal eina over serach hasechel. Generally, they don't go through the intellect. He megia memakum legamri acher mealev. It comes from a different place. It comes from the heart. Okay. Ubeemes. Yeshitmu ma kesher bein sod lelev. So people are going to wonder, what's the connection between sod, which are the secrets, and the heart? Hare lev is a hargosha. The heart is feeling. I'm talking about feeling, emotion. I'm talking about the emotions now. You're going ava, yira, uchadoima, like love and fear. Uma shaychus bein sod lelev. What's the connection between the heart, which is feelings, and sod, which is Kabbalah? Question number one. Yiserizu, more than this. Hare lev yachol lios l'chora gam l'adam pasha shloshan of l'okara. So emotion can be applicable to even a simple person who hasn't learned. V'yesh lo ruach dekedusha shel hislavas simcha b'mitzvahs tzar b'vez achorben avol maaseh kosher l'torah sod. And such a person can have a holy spirit of excitement, joy in mitzvahs, pain in mourning. But what connection does that have to do to the sod, to the Kabbalah? So lamed hey. Avol be'emes, but the truth is Shlomo Melech kvar amar. So Melech said in Koheles, v'libi ra'o harbe chachma. He says, my heart saw a lot of wisdom. Shlomo Melech kishabola hagdir es hachachma. When Shlomo Melech came to define wisdom, he wasn't from the people of high intelligence who were sharp, that their intellect was the root of their achievement of understanding. Now, ulai hu gamoi, because he could have also had seichel. Avalo mishamu shavis v'chachmasa. But it wasn't from that point that he drew forth his wisdom. He drew the wisdom from his heart. So what does that mean? He means to say the following. Ha-chachma shu lomad, hi ka'osa chachma shematzinu eitzel betzalel. The wisdom that he learned was similar to the wisdom that we find by Betzalel who built the Mishkan. Where it says over there in Shmos, it says, v'chol ish chacham leiv. Every person who is wise of heart, not wise of brain. Torah calls people wise of heart. Hey, me'el shabal, livnos es beis ha-migdash. These are the people who went to build the beis ha-migdash. If today you want to build a royal palace, today you want to build a kingly palace, you go to architects, you go to engineers who are the best, and that's how you build it. When you go to build the Beis HaMikdash, they look for a different category of people, wise of heart. As the rabbis say, where did these people in Egypt learn to weave? they learn those crafts to make the different the different coverings. Who taught them? That's a skill. They were given it with divine inspiration. Hashem just put it in them, the natural ability to do it. They didn't know. None of them were craftsmen. In Egypt, almost all of them were involved in mud and clay. They didn't have the specialization for the work that was necessary in the Mishkan. So where did they get that specialization? Where did they get that training from? How did they know how to do it? The answer is, because they had a very pure intent in their hearts. From there rested the divine inspiration. From there they got the wisdom. The wisdom came because their heart was in the right place. So therefore, Yeshem came, Chachma, Shemakarib, and Moach Adam, Yeshem Chachma, Shem Chachma, Shalev, Chachma, Shalsod. So there's a wisdom that's rooted in the brain, the cranium of the person, the real intellect part of the person. And there's a certain wisdom that comes from the heart. And that is the wisdom of Sod. That is what we call the mystical, secretive part.
Which is given by Hashem. It doesn't.
No.
That's what we said.
No, we didn't. There's a type of a. Well, just wait and you'll see. You'll see. I'm going to explain it all. Talmid Hamagid Memezrich, Talmid Shal Balshentov. The Magid of Mezrich, who was the student of the Balshentov, Kasav Besefer Yosher Divrei Emes. A certain sefer he wrote the following very important idea. He says, when he talks about Kabbalah, he defines Kabbalah. What is Kabbalah? What is Sod? What are the secrets? This is something very interesting. He says, Shesifra HaKabbalah HaNimtzayim Lifaneinu Heim Einam Begeder Torah HaSod. The Kabbalah Svarim that we have today, look in the Zohar, look in these books, that's not the real category that we call the Torah of Sod. Ki kishem she'adam hayodea kuro v'kasov yochel likro masha kasuv. Just like, for example, a person who knows how to read and write, so he knows how to read what's written. V'adam she'ani yodea kuro v'kasov yochel likro. Guy who doesn't know how to read and write doesn't know how to read. Avol ein zo omer she'advarim him begeter sod. Would you call that a sod? Would you call that a mystery? Would you call that a secret? English language, is it a secret? Go speak to someone who's Spanish, right? English, that's a secret. It's not a secret, right? I'm sorry, it's not a secret, you just have to be taught it. In other words, there's two kinds of secrets. One kind of secret is, I have this information, nobody else has it. It's only a secret insofar as I'm the only one who has the information. But the information isn't, in other words, something can be a secret through external means. Something can be intrinsically a secret. So the fact that I'm the only person in the room who knows English and nobody else knows English, you could say it's a secret, but that's an external secret. It's a secret. I know it, but I could teach it. I could share it. If I will teach it, it's just a mechanical necessity that has to happen. Go spend the time, learn with an A and a B and a C and this, and it's no longer a secret now. So that really, you know, that's what we call a superficial secret. It's not a real secret. Right? Kach b'diyuk kishanoshim poskim sefer Kabbalah. Let's say open up a Kabbalah work. You open up the Zohar. Ve'enu mevini mashkozu. I don't understand it. So it doesn't mean because you don't understand Sod. You don't know the language. There's a language of Kabbalah. There's Kabbalistic terms. Right? Zusafacher is a different language. The person knows Hebrew but doesn't know Aramaic. In fact, he can't learn Zohar isn't because he's not privileged to understand Sod. who lo mevin esav, he doesn't understand the language because the Zohar is written in Aramaic. All day long, to be an expert in Hebrew language, looking at in the Zohar, I don't understand a word of it. An Israeli would not understand a word of Zohar. He doesn't. Is it so much because it's a secret? No, he just doesn't know the language. Teach him Aramaic. He'll be able to know what the Zohar is saying. Gam Gemara who lo mevin. Can't even understand Gemara because it's written in Aramaic. Iyadiyas ha-safa enenu magdira es ha-dvarim kesod. Just not knowing a language, that doesn't define something as a sod. So what's a sod then? We'll see. Lamed vav. Kamo sharam lo yedet sarfatit ki lo lamed safasu. Just like he doesn't know French because he didn't learn it. Him zenikra. So does that call a secret? Lo yedet sarfish shiyasal at sarfas. God doesn't know French. Let him travel to France. Or let him find a French teacher. But that's not called a secret. So what is a soul? What is the secret? What is this area? This fourth area of Torah that's called soul. Lashon HaZohar HaKadosh, the Zohar tells us what soul is. He says, everyone according to what they estimate in their hearts. Everyone according to their hearts. Hasod hu lo inyan shel yeda. Sod is not a concept of information that you learn. She'echad kore v'yodea v'achem lo karu osem lo yodim. That one guy knows how to read and he understands, and others who haven't read, they don't understand. That is not sod. Hasod zu tfisa pnimis sharam tofes. Sod is an internal grasp that a person has. It's a grasp of something that's internal. Let's give an example. Someone has a very advanced sense of smell. A very advanced sense of sight. Someone who doesn't have that sense. Avuro chush reach dak yoser hu sod. So for him, the one who has the more sophisticated sense of smell, for him, that's a sod. Why? Because the efshir lahasbir lo sod, because you can't explain it. A sod is something that you grasp, and there's no way you can give it over to others. That's a secret. I can't give it over. What do you mean? Right? The blind person says, okay, explain to me, what sunrise looks like. I want to understand it. He says, I can't tell you. Well, why can't you? Because you don't have any schema like I have to be able to internalize what that is feels like, right? And therefore, I can't describe it to you all day long. Now, to another person, all I got to do is let them take a look outside, and you'll understand everything. But someone else, you just can't. You can't describe this. It's something. So this information I have that there's no way I can give it over to someone else. Now that's a real secret. So do davar she'etzam amitzias shel davar lo nita lomar asachver. So it is something that its essence is something that cannot be given over, as it's written in the Svarim Michtam Elio. She'sod afilu she'chtavu shachar gabei laban v'yifarsenu v'cholam kulo. So you can write it black and white, print it out, and send it to the whole world. It still is a definite secret. Secrets of people. And if they write it and it goes out, it's not a secret. Let's say the rags who try to publish all the things behind the scenes. Oh, we're going to reveal the secrets. That's not really a secret. It's just a piece of information. Give the piece of information over. It goes over. So, medini, political secrets. Berega shuhudla paravim kukfar lo sod. Once it's published, it's not a secret anymore. Lumazos hasod shel ha-Torah kedoshu sod acher. On the other hand, the sod of Torah, that's a different kind of secret. Sod shel tfisa penimis eich shodam tofes es dvar mitocho. The secret of the internal grasp, how a person internalizes these words inside the deepest way. Kasher Adam mevin shatfisa mitocho hi avchina shel pnimis sod ha-kabbalah. When a person understands that the grasp, the inner grasp, that is the real inner aspect of the Kabbalah. Alav lahavin she'ein zarak b'inyan Kabbalah. That's not only in Kabbalah. In other words, there is aspects of Kabbalah that are deep, very deep, that just can't be explained. You can't just give it over verbally to people. You can't give it over. There's certain things in Kabbalah, you know, we say, well, what this word mystically means, and you tell it to other people, that's just still information. There's an information part of Kabbalah, and then there's a sod part of Kabbalah. We use this word Kabbalah, right? So the real depth is the sod, the part that you can't describe. It's a feeling that you have. It's a deep emotional feeling. So he's going to say, it goes beyond Kabbalah. He says, look, dogma. Mayava, what's love? Right? So he gave the example on Lag BaOmer. Let's say a single guy, right? He writes a 24-volume encyclopedia on the topic of love. Right? And he approaches it from so many different ways. You know, the intellectual understanding of Kabbalah, the Hasidic understanding of Kabbalah, the Karlbach stories of love, right? Stories of love that touch the heart, you know, and you publish many stories like that. Statistics of people, you know, describing what are the conditions that make it more optimal to love people, etc., etc. He writes a whole thing on the book. Right? He's ready to publish it. The day before he publishes it, he's introduced to a nice young lady. And within a month's time, he's fallen in love with her. Then he looks at his encyclopedia and he starts laughing. He says, look at this garbage that I wrote. It was written from a person who never once felt love. So, in other words, it was written by a person who was talking about the concept of love, but not the person who ever loved, which is an altogether different idea, you know. So clearly, love is something that you cannot give over. You can't give over a love intellectually. It doesn't work. You know, I'm going to intellectually explain to you how I'm feeling. No matter how erudite you are in the ability to write so beautifully, still the actual feeling cannot be imparted to another person. You cannot. Then the unique feeling of love you have to this person can't be described to somebody else. It just doesn't work. Now, obviously, people who have felt love are in the same, who have similar feelings can relate to each other more than the one who doesn't love. But that's something you can't, you know, that's what I always say, you know, never share your pictures of your grandchildren with other people. Like, don't bore them to death and force them to be polite. Okay? Don't force them to be polite. Because only one person appreciates those pictures, and it's you, and you should. But nobody else does, and don't expect them to. It's not their grandkid, so forget it. They're not. You know, they're not. You know, they'll only, you show it to other grandmothers who will be patient enough to look at yours, so on the condition you let them show them theirs. You know? Just don't do it. You know? I'm not interested in somebody else's grandkid. No, it's not interested. I'm interested in mine. And that's the way it should be. That's what it should be. Right? So that's the idea of love. Right? You know, that's why, for example, you know, you can't have, in halacha, in the purest sense of halacha. Now, you have to make exceptions sometimes. When you're looking for the chazan for the high holidays. Right, there's certain requirements. One of the requirements is he should be married with kids. Not a single guy. Because a single guy does not, you know, you're representing the community. Right? So you're representing the community, and it should be really an older person. It should really be best, an older, very advanced, mature person who has children, who's been married, has children, has grandchildren. He's been there, done that. He has experienced all the feelings of what it means to not have a child, to yes have a child, to have a child who's crazy, to have a wife who makes you crazy, to have a wife that you love, this and that. He knows what the feelings of the congregants are. He relates to them. So there, he could bring their prayers up. A single guy who has a great cantorial voice, who's 20 years old, he can only relate the concepts. When he looks at those words in the Machzor, those are concepts. Those aren't real. Those aren't real. You know, a year of nachas from your children. What does nachas from your children mean? You don't even have a child. I can explain nachas from a child to someone who doesn't have a child. He doesn't understand what he's asking for, right? So that idea of love, right? Can someone explain to another person what is love? Love is the real secret. It's something you cannot explain. You cannot define it. So do davar shenimtza betocha adam v'einenu yochel osis oso laf achad zoid tfisas nafsho. Sod is something that's found within the essence of the person. You can't tell it to anybody. It's a soulful grasp. So now, imadam oev davar mesuim, a person loves a specific thing. Hu yochel loim mishoev, he can say he loves it. But to give to another person that exact love, he can't give it to him. So he can convince him, to explain to him. He can even try to get him excited about it. But to give that love, he can't do that. Otherwise, if you could, if this was possible for me to give you that same feeling of love that I have, if it would have been possible, you know what would have happened? The great tzaddikim who loved Hashem would have given it over to other people. Here I have it. I'm going to give it to you so you can have that same love of Hashem. And are you sure every tzaddik would have done it? Right? But you know, you can't give that over to others. Everyone has to work on it themselves. They can guide people of what you should be doing to get to that place. But the actual love, you can't give that over. Lamed Zayin. Yiras Hashem Sheishalom. A person has a certain fear of Hashem, reverence and awe for Hashem. Can you give it to your friend? You could try to picture it to another person. You could try to explain the greatness of Hashem. You could try to describe the punishments of Gehenim. And you could explain the things that could bring a person to fear. But to give the person the actual feeling of the fear that's inside, you can't do that. That says so. That's a sod. Sod u davar shu etzem adam. Sod is the actual essence of the person. Davar shu lo yochel otzi achutz. You can't take that out. Lo ki b'mikra nemra dvarim b'cheder sogar shaf echad lo shamal hiklit. It's not like the situation where there's a secret in a certain room that's closed off. Nobody heard it. Nobody transcribed it. That's not what it is. It's something that's internal. You can never bring it out. You can't bring it out. The heart of a person, you could bring it out. He says, what if you take a person's heart out? What if you literally remove a person's heart? You could keep him alive on life support systems. You could have a machine pump for him. But the internal grasp of a soul, you can never bring it out. Loving Hashem, fearing Hashem, all the Torah and Kabbalah, dveikus, feeling a connection, a closeness to Hashem, that's all called sod. Zulo she'ela makasuv. It's not a question of what's written. Ela eicha adam margish. It's how does a person feel it? And that's the whole, we'll elaborate on this more tomorrow. This is the whole idea when you're learning Torah. You know, we're not learning Torah merely to get the content and the information. We're trying to bring out a feeling of learning Torah. The feeling to bring you to feel this closeness to Hashem. This is not an intellectual endeavor. It's an endeavor of the heart. And now you're going to see where the tension lies between the intellectual and why he's not capable of learning sod. Because he does it. It's not just, I'll just read it in a book. Oh, I can read 50 books a day and I can memorize it all. doesn't matter. I can memorize all the facts of love, but I can't make an intellectual love someone until he meets a pretty woman and falls in love with her. So really the whole job of the Sod of Torah is getting a person to fall in love with Torah, to fall in love with Hashem, and to have feelings and emotions towards it. That's what real Kabbalah is supposed to bring us to. So we'll continue this topic tomorrow, and we'll get a better understanding of that.
Is that like the Mishkan side?
What?
Is that like the